This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a series called Better Together. In this series, Rick takes us through 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and shows us how to cultivate deep, meaningful relationships with the people around us. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you how you can get a copy of Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life. In it, you'll discover how God provides the power you need to take you from where you are to where you want to be. Find out more by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 while you listen to today's message. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with the final part of a message called How We Help Each Other Grow.
One of the most helpful things you can do in your small group is help people forgive themselves. A lot of people have confessed to God and God has forgiven, but they just don't feel it. They need somebody to say, "You are forgiven." Have you admitted it to God? Yeah, then you are forgiven. Have you confessed it yet? Then you are forgiven. Let it go. That's why we get together, to help each other, to feel forgiven. And sometimes you just need somebody to say that to you. And another thing you can do in your small group is to remind people that God loves to give a second chance, and a third, and a 50th, and a 300th. And God never, ever gives up on you. Never. He never gives up on you. And He's not finished with you. And He wants to use other people in your life to take that pain, heal it, and then turn you into a leader and a person of influence to help others. Here's the third thing, that benefit of honesty. You get God's power to change. God's power to change when we admit our mistakes to others. James 4:10 says this. When you bow down before the Lord, that means you humble yourself, before God, and you admit your dependence upon Him, God will lift you up. Notice He doesn't scold you, He doesn't shame you, He doesn't put you down. He lifts you up and gives you honor. How does this work? God wants you to learn to be like Him, and God is humble. And so the Bible says God resists the proud. That means when you're prideful, you're on the opposite side of God. You're fighting God. He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. So that means this. When I'm honest about my weaknesses, then I'm humble. When I'm humble, I get God's grace. God's grace is the power to change. When I get God's grace, I can change the things that I've always wanted to change in my life. But it only comes through humility, and humility comes through honesty. Does that make sense? There's a pattern here. And some of those things in your life that you have been unable to change, it's because you have been unable to be honest about them. And you're hiding them. And you're not going to get any better that way. Healing and a fresh start and the power to change come from being open with other people. God wanted us to need each other. Now look, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Nobody's perfect. So who are we kidding? We just need to be honest about it. Everybody blows it. And just, you know what? Nothing shocks me anymore. There is no sin that you could name that I haven't heard in this church. Not one. Not one. Nothing shocks me anymore because I have heard it all, because we're all imperfect. Now, here's the fourth benefit of honesty. Deeper fellowship. Deeper fellowship when we admit our mistakes. 1 John 1:7 says, if we live in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. We get fellowship. Why? Because in the light, we can't hide anything. The darkness is where we are. See, right now, there are 700,000 watts of light shining on me right now. That means you get the camera close enough, you could see every imperfection in my face, because you can't hide under the lights. But in the darkness, we hide. That's why we want to hide in the darkness. But when we are honest and we live in the light, we have fellowship. Now, here's the myth. We think that if we are open about our fears, about our hang-ups, about our imperfections, about our secret faults, that people are going to think less of us. The opposite is true. Actually, the more honest you are, the more people want to be with you and like you. What is more attractive to you, deceitfulness or honesty? Well, honesty is. You want to be around people who say, that guy is the real deal. He is not a fake. He's not a phony. What you see is what you get. He's not putting on a big show. I like that guy. I like that woman because they are the real deal. What we don't like are people who fake it, pretend they're perfect, try to hide everything. That's not attractive at all. Well, now, if that's what attracts you to others, don't you think that if you're more honest, people will be attracted to you? They will. Now, let me speak to those of you who have realized, many of you have realized, my life is messed up. My life is really messed up. I got some hang-ups, some habits, some bad responses, some bad patterns, relationships. I don't know what it is. You say, my life is messed up. Well, God brought you here because he wants to turn that hurt into a healing. And then he wants to use you in the lives of other people. And he brought you here because he just wants you to stop denying it. He's waiting for you to surrender and get with the program. I want you to hear Lisa's story. Would you welcome her?
Good morning. I grew up as a child victim of domestic violence. My mother chose relationships with very abusive men, and from the time I was 9 years old until I left home at 17, I was physically, emotionally, and sexually abused by the men in her life. As a young child, seeing your mom be beaten and then suffering the same consequences if you tried to stop it or get help was devastating. I lived in fear and the loneliness of keeping this family secret most of my life. My mother and I and my siblings were always blamed for the abuse. If only we behaved better, kept our mouths shut, or did things perfectly as we were told, then we wouldn't have to be beaten. My mother suffered black eyes, a broken back, having knives held to her throat, and even being shot at. I suffered punches and bruises as well, but none as damaging as the bruises to my soul. The sexual abuse left me feeling dirty, unloved, and guilty, and somehow that the abuse was my fault. As a teenager, the emotional damage began to impact my life. I was promiscuous and began drinking and doing drugs, anything to numb the pain and stay away from home. I began to live out all the things I had learned in my childhood, things like being sexual with a man meant you were loved, or if a man was abusive, he loved me. I married my first husband when I was 19 years old, and that was the last day I saw my mom. She was murdered 6 days later. As a young wife and mother, and having married an alcoholic abusive man, I continued to make bad choices. My marriage ended in divorce, and I spent the next few years dating and sleeping with many different men. I continued to feel unlovable or unworthy. I drank and did drugs, and I continued to try to do anything to please the men in my life. My bad choices led to a second failed marriage, an abortion, and a child I gave up for adoption. Then in 1992, during my second divorce, someone invited me to Saddleback Church. I was living with, you could guess it, my third alcoholic, sexually addicted boyfriend. I don't remember the sermon that first time. Sorry, Rick. But I do remember that I cried all the way through it, and I felt like I had finally found my church home. My boyfriend Peter and I sought help and showed up at the church office one day. Pastor John Baker of Celebrate Recovery confronted us in love with the truth about our living together. He recommended Christian counseling and that we begin attending Celebrate Recovery. Peter faced his alcoholism and sex addiction, and God gave us the power to change our relationship and stop living together. Being part of a small group was scary for me at first. I had to learn how to open up and share with other women all the hurts of my life. But soon I was admitting to these wonderful women the hurts I had never told anyone before. Opening up to them provided the emotional healing that began my fresh start. Through my small group, I have learned I can be real, transparent, and share about all my mistakes and still be 100% loved and accepted. Honestly, there are countless women and men, my brothers and sisters in Christ, who have taught me what godly love, accountability, and grace are all about. I am blessed to say that in January, I will have 11 years of sobriety from drugs and alcohol. Thank you. Peter, that boyfriend, and I will be married 10 years on December 17th. He's the most amazing godly husband, and I thank God for the true intimacy and real love that he's given us in our marriage. Finally, I can say that I was right that my quest for true love and finding just the right man that would bring me the joy and fulfillment I looked for all my life, I found. He's the love of my life, and his name is Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Here's the fourth way that we help each other grow. And by the way God wired it, this is cool. When you help other people grow, God helps you grow. You never grow faster than when you're helping somebody else. And the fourth way we can help each other grow is by encouraging each other's commitment. By encouraging each other's commitment. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 4:7, keep yourselves in training for a godly life. Now, how do you do that? How do you stay in training for a godly life? Well, you stay in a small group and you get a spiritual partner. You get a training partner. You know, it's always easier to work out when you're working with somebody else. You get a spiritual training partner. Now, nothing affects your life more than your commitments. Tell me what you're committed to. I'll tell you what you're going to be in 20 years because you are becoming whatever you are committed to. Your commitments shape your life. And if you're not committed to anything, other people are shaping your life. I'm sorry to tell you this, but other people are running your life if you don't have any commitments. Now, not only do your commitments affect here and now, they affect eternity because every choice you make has eternal consequences. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 1, I want us to help each other with the faith we have. Your faith will help me, and my faith will help you. Now, that's why you need a church family, and that's why you need a small group, is we help each other out. Now, Saddleback Church is a purpose-driven church. What does that mean, a purpose-driven church? It means that everything in this church is committed to and organized around helping you fulfill God's five purposes for your life. You were put on this planet for five reasons. And the purpose of this church is to help you fulfill those five purposes and to help you make and grow in the five basic commitments of life. So let's just review them as we close. Here they are. Number one, first, God wants you to commit to love Jesus Christ. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. That's called worship. If you haven't done this, today's your day. Commit to loving Jesus Christ because you're made, you're planned for his pleasure. Number two, you commit to love other believers. Once you're in the family of God, God says, I want you to learn to get along with others. That's called fellowship. That means you get in a small group, you take class 101, our membership class, you get baptized as an evidence expression of your faith, you join this church. Now, once you start loving Jesus, you start loving other believers, God says, I want you to help others to do the same. Help other people to love me. And help other people to love my family. So you might want to go through 101 class with a friend. Or your whole group might take somebody through if they haven't gone through together. But, you know, get involved. Maybe even get baptized together. The third thing is to commit to grow in God's word. And this is called discipleship. God wants you to become like Christ. And you grow in his word. And you help others to grow in his word by sharing what God's teaching you and inviting them to Bible studies, inviting them to your small group. The fourth commitment is to commit to serve in ministry. God gave you some talents, some abilities, and he didn't give them to you for your benefit. He gave you to bless the world, gave them to you to bless the world, and he wants you to use them. Anytime you use your talents to help others, that's called your ministry. And God says, I want you to get involved in a ministry, use your talents to help others, and then help other people to do the same. Somebody in your group, invite them to join your ministry. Invite them to serve along with you. Help them find their niche. Make sure everybody in your group has a place that they can give back. And then the fifth is commit to share the good news. Once you know the good news, you share it with other people. This week I got this letter from Sherry. Sherry is a hairstylist. And for 10 years, she's been cutting the hair of a guy named Robert. Robert is a diabetic. And his diabetes got so bad that he lost a leg, had to have it amputated. Then he lost a kidney, and he had to go into dialysis. And for 10 years, Sherry kept inviting Robert to come to church every week, every time she'd see him. And he kept saying, no, I'm not interested, I'm not interested. One day, a few months ago, Robert came in to get his hair cut, and he was very depressed because his mother had just died. And he admitted to Sherry that she was the only person in his life that she had been taking care of him. And he didn't have anybody to take care of him. And Sherry said, Robert, you need a church family. And you need to be in a small group. And she gave him a brochure to Saddleback and about the singles ministry. And he just said, I'm not interested. But she kept praying for him. She said, can I pray for you right now? And she did. And so she prayed for him. Two months went by before his next haircut. And when he came in, she says, he was so excited to tell me that he'd gone to Saddleback Church and had accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. He'd already taken classes 101, 201, and 301, became a greeter, and started attending Elevation, the single service. Robert made a lot of friends at the single service, and he got involved in a small group. The small group is so helpful with his spiritual growth and meeting his needs. He also started volunteering once a week at the church office. Then he got an infection recently, and he was in the hospital again, but this time, Robert's small group was there to pray for him, to minister to him, to support him during his time of need. And every time I saw Robert, he was thanking God and talking about his small group and ministry. Last Saturday evening, Robert passed away. The people at the single service noticed that he wasn't there. So several of them became very concerned and went to his home, and they found Robert had passed away in his wheelchair. Pastor Rick, I am sad, but I'm also thankful. I thank God that he tugged on my heart to keep inviting Robert to Saddleback all these years. It was 10 years. I'm thankful that Robert accepted Jesus in his heart. I'm thankful that he found a supportive small group that showed him God's love. I'm thankful that Robert didn't let his health problems or being a new believer keep him from serving God. I'm thankful that he learned to love and be loved. And I'm thankful that Robert is now in heaven walking with Jesus. Like you always challenge us, Rick, will anybody be in heaven because of you? I'm thankful that the Lord used me, a hairstylist, to spread his word. And I'm more excited to share the good news than going shopping or getting a new car. I'm glad I never gave up on Robert, and I intend to take every chance I have to share the good news. Who do you need to not give up on? You've invited him to church, or you invited him to a group. They said no. That's not the end of the story. Sherry is glad she didn't give up. You know what? Robert is even more glad because he's in heaven today. Who do you need to invite to church, to a service, to your group? Let's bow our heads. The fact is, spiritual maturity is a choice. As I've said many times to you, you're as close to God as you choose to be. And one day you're going to stand before God and give an account of your life. And he's going to ask, did you ever make these commitments? Did you ever fulfill the purposes I put you on earth to fulfill? So my question to you is, what's your next step? Do you need to invite Christ into your life? Do you need to be baptized? Join a church? Take 101? Get in a small group? Find a ministry? Why don't you pray this prayer? Dear God, I want to grow up spiritually. I don't want to stay a spiritual baby anymore. So today I'm choosing to make some serious commitments. First, I commit all of my life to you, Jesus. I want to follow your purpose and plan. And I commit to publicly announcing my faith through baptism. And I want to join this church, and I want to get in a group, and I want to grow and be the person you want me to be. I commit to the journey, and I want you to make your home in my heart. In your name I pray. Amen.
Hi, this is Pastor Rick. If you just prayed to accept Jesus Christ into your heart, congratulations. You're now my brother or sister in the Lord, and you need to tell somebody. And why don't you tell me? Write to me rick@pastorrick.com. Just email me, rick@pastorrick.com, and tell me your story. I would love to read it. And by the way, I'll send you some free material to help you start in your new journey with the Lord. God bless you.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive hope and encouragement every day delivered right to your inbox, then sign up for Rick's free daily devotional by going to PastorRick.com right now. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, what does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? In his book, God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick lays the groundwork for personal transformation, then offers biblical insights and simple steps for 10 areas of growth that you can take from where you are to where you want to be. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
You know, I've been a pastor for over 3 decades, and I've been teaching the Word of God for over 4 decades. And in all of that time, the number one question I've been asked by people is this: how can I change, or why can't I change? I've talked to literally thousands and thousands of people who want to change but are just stuck, and they can't figure out how to get unstuck. You know, the truth is, you can't change on your own, because willpower alone isn't enough to make permanent changes. Sure, you can force yourself to change for a month or 2 months, but pretty soon you're going to go back to your old ways. Pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps is not enough. Talking yourself into a change by positive thinking is not enough. The Bible says true transformational change only comes through the power of God inside you. So let me ask you a personal question. How do you want to be different at the end of this year? What changes would you like to make in your life? What goals would you like to see accomplished in your life? Well, it isn't going to happen on your own. You're going to need God's power. And I want you to understand how to plug in to God's power. That's why this month I'm sending out God's Power to Change Your Life, a book that I've written when you give a financial gift to support Daily Hope Broadcast and Ministries. You know, Daily Hope is 100% supported by listeners. We have no other outside source of income. It's supported by your gifts. And when you give to support this ministry this month, I want to give back to you this book, God's Power to Change Your Life.
This book connects you with the power to actually make the changes you long to make. And as you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change. You'll move out of your rut and get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. And today, when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the hope of Jesus to people everywhere, we'll send you Pastor Rick's book called God's Power to Change Your Life to say thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Today is the last day to get this great resource, so don't wait. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.